Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to our daily encouragement, or days of encouragement. As you might know, we're going through the book of Matthew. Today we're at Matthew 4 on the 4th of June. So let's get into the word. From verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man must not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" And this comes right after Jesus is baptized, and the Father, you know, this amazing scene where Jesus is baptized, the Spirit descends, the Father speaks, and there's just this affirmation that Jesus is the Son of God, that God affirms him as his beloved Son. And it's interesting because the first thing that we see now in chapter 4 is that it's the Spirit, the same Spirit that has come upon him from the opened heavens, is the Spirit that leads him into the wilderness, fasting for 40 days and for 40 nights. And I think, and it says the Spirit led him out to be tempted. And he was tempted by the devil. And this might be a bit confusing to us, but I think, just like a clarification on it, the word used there is tempted in English. But the Greek word that is used there is a much broader word. So it can be used in a different way. So the way that we use tempted is to say that, you know, we tempt someone into do something bad or do something wrong. We don't use tempted as a word that is necessarily good. Like we don't tempt someone into doing something good or necessarily beneficial. It's more used towards negative. So, you know, in our context, we tempt someone hoping that they would fail. Bad thing, but it's generally how we use the word. In your older translations of the Bible, you'll find that it says tested, and tested is a more accurate word, I would say. I find, because what testing does is testing reveals the truth. Testing reveals the true nature of something. So if you really want to know if, you know, a lot of us studied at times, or we had to go through certain things to prove if we could do it. You know, I had to write exams to prove or to show the test was written or was given to me so that it can be determined whether I truly know my work or whether I don't. So Jesus' identity is affirmed, and then he's sent out in this test. Are you really the Son of God? And this is what the devil comes at him. First thing, like, there's just, it's this battle of the enemy, the devil, and Jesus in the wilderness. You know, you can see in my mind, I've got this, you know, like a Western setting with the devil standing and Jesus standing face to face, and there's a tumbleweed that rolls between them, and it's like this eerie music, and it's a face off. And the devil kind of comes and he gives the first blow, and he says that if you are the Son of God, then you will turn these stones into bread. And the devil comes to like really press on that button of, okay, you know, you were just affirmed, you were just celebrated as the Son of God. Are you really the Son of God? You know, if you were really the Son of God, would you be suffering like this? Would you be hungry like this? That's the first thing that he says, like, you know, you're God's Son. Is God really providing for you? And the second, like, kind of jab that he gives at him is, but surely, if you're the Son of God, you have the power to turn these stones into bread. So why don't you just do it? Why don't you just go ahead? And Jesus responds. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And it's amazing because it's almost the same question that the devil asked Adam and Eve is, does God really care about you? Does he have your best interests at heart? But like, seriously, does he have your best interests at heart? And where Adam and Eve failed, Jesus comes and he says, you know, and what he's not saying is that we should only live by the word. Like, that's going to sustain us and our hunger and everything. No, no, no. We need to eat to stay alive. We need to drink water to stay alive. But what he's saying is, what it means to be truly human is that we eat and we drink and we breathe, obviously. But to be truly human, to truly walk with God, we need to trust him. We need to trust his word and his way of doing things. And that's the first, like, punch that Jesus gives back, in a sense. And he says, no, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm trusting God because I don't only live from bread, but I live from what God has said. And God has a certain purpose, a certain direction that he wants me to walk in. Let's go into the second challenge. And the devil comes at Jesus. And he comes at him with the same jab. And he says, okay, but if you are the Son of God, takes him up to this to the temple, this high tower on the temple, and he says, if you are the Son of God, surely God cares for you, right? Surely he protects you. And he quotes out of Psalm 91, but kind of misquotes it, and he says, if God really cares for you, jump off this high tower, and his angels will come and catch you, right? God cares for you. I know he provides, but will he protect you? Well, if you are the Son of God. And Jesus says, no, no. Look, the word says, the Bible says, don't put God to the test. And it makes me think of a story like the Israelites who came out of Egypt, went through the sea, get to the other side, and then they all of a sudden start saying, but we want to go back to Egypt. Why did you ever take us out of Egypt? Because God, you've done nothing for us. Show to us that you are truly God. And they failed because there was a chance for them to trust God and trust his word and trust his promises. And here Jesus comes and he's the one who says, no, 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 I'm not going to test God. God has a plan. I'm sticking to that plan. And then the third, kind of like the devil is, you know, he is now on the back foot and he's trying to hit a knockout blow. And he says, okay, whoa. So let's make a deal. And he shows him like a vision, this picture of the kingdoms of the world. And he says, this will all be yours. As if he has authority over it, as if it's his. He says, Jesus, this will all be yours if you bow down and worship me. Just bow down. Just, you know, take a shortcut to being king of the world. You know, you'll have all of this, but bow down to me. And there Jesus just says, he kind of, there's this emotion that I can see that I read into it, and it comes out, and he says, get out of here, Satan. Cheers. Like, go. There's no more place for you here. And further, we don't hear of the devil. We don't hear of him tempting Jesus, and Jesus passes the test. And throughout Scripture, the Old Testament specifically, we'll see that there's these tests and these moments where God reveals our true character. And we fail, but Jesus comes, and he passes. He passes with flying colors, and he trusts God completely. And Jesus did what no other human could ever do. He resisted the temptation to trust in his own ways or in the promises, the fake promises of the enemy. And he trusts rather in the promises of God. And he defeats the devil. Because from that point on, in Scripture, we see that, as a famous theologian says, he says, every time the enemy appears in Scripture after this moment, the enemy appears with a face of defeat. the demons realize that they are subject to them because he's defeated the devil. The rulers and the principalities, they appear in subjection to Jesus because he's overcome them. He did what we cannot do. He lived the perfect life. And this is our encouragement for today, that we are faced with trials and temptations, tests, to see, will we trust God? Will we trust him, especially in this time? In this time, I think the greatest question that is being asked of us is, will we trust God? Will we trust him with our finances? Will we trust him with provision for our families, for schoolwork and academic work, for our jobs? Will we trust him with our lives? Will we trust him with salvation, that he has a way and he's working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? And our encouragement is that because Jesus overcame the devil there in the wilderness, because he said, Satan, go away. Cheers. You no longer have authority over me. We have this position as heirs alongside Christ, as people of God who are in Christ. We have this position to when temptation comes, to say, don't trust God, he doesn't really have your best interests. Don't trust God, he won't provide. We can say, Satan, go. Satan, be gone in Jesus' name, because Jesus has overcome you. Jesus said, go, and now you wear the face of defeat. How encouraging is that not? That Jesus is the one who has won. Jesus is the victor. And he told the devil to go, and therefore in Jesus' name we can say to Satan, go away. Your temptation won't work because we trust in the word of God. We trust in the ways of God, even though we don't understand it now. And I want to encourage you with that. I'm going to pray for us and we'll end off. Father, we just come tonight and we just thank you that we can trust you. We can know that you are for us and not against us. That when temptation comes, we know that Jesus has walked before us and has defeated the enemy. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, that every temptation that we're going through, Lord, that it will be brought into perspective, Lord. That instead of trusting in ourselves, we would trust in you and your ways. And that we would walk like Jesus walked, Father, saying that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth, because you give life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Have a blessed evening.